In Vancouver, I am Plante on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. The author Elisa York joins me now. She's crossing the country promoting her highly anticipated novel, Fauna. It is described as a contemporary human fable that looks at the heart of the animal world. We'll get her to tell us more, including some of the human characters depicted therein who illuminate the setting and the animals they encounter. Her previous novels include Mercy and Effigy, which was shortlisted for the Giller Prize. Fauna is published by Random House. She lives in Toronto, but joins us from here in Vancouver this day. Please welcome to the Plante Online program, Elisa York. Good morning, Ms. York.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
How far is Don Valley from Toronto?
It runs right down through Toronto. Yeah, it's an urban valley, and it's actually quite near where I live.
Yeah. So most of the story, I guess, takes place there, right?
Yeah, it's in and around the Don Valley. It kind of revolves around that. Urban forest, basically.
How many minutes is it away from, say, Toronto, like the Toronto that we know from TV, the downtown Toronto, say?
Downtown Toronto, you could walk from the Don Valley in 10 minutes.
So the story takes place, from what I understand, in an auto wrecking yard. I spent a couple summers working in an auto wrecker yard.
Oh, so, you did, eh?
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to reading the book and seeing what happens there. What happens in Fauna?
Well, this particular auto wrecking yard doubles as a kind of a sanctuary. So for damaged souls and also for injured animals. So it's kind of an unusual wrecking yard. I had a lot of fun researching wrecking yards, though, going to wrecking yards and having a tour, and, yeah, it was great.
Did you spend time there, like a day, say?
In a wrecking yard?
Yeah.
Yeah, we went to one in Chatham, Ontario, actually. We were going there for another reason, and my husband suggested that one in a smaller town might have more time to really show us around. So, yeah, we had a really deluxe tour at Golden Sun's Auto Wreckers in Chatham, Ontario, and they showed us all the equipment, how it worked, and it was great.
See, the one where I worked at, it didn't have, there were no animals at all. It was close to the water, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
So this one, what sort of animals would be there?
Well, the usual dog and cat situation, but they're sort of rehabilitating an injured hawk and bringing up a family of orphaned raccoons. And then there are a certain number of less fortunate animals that are buried there as well. So, yeah. And then a lot of human beings, you know, kind of a few lost souls are hanging around there as well.
Guy runs it, right?
Guy Howell runs it, yeah. He's kind of an unusual kind of leader. It may be more benevolent than a lot of people who would be in his situation.
So the other main character in the book is Edel Jones. Did I pronounce that correctly?
He did. It's unusual.
How does she wind up at the yard?
Well, she's a federal wildlife officer, and she's on stress leave. So she's been doing a lot of busting smugglers of banned animals and animal parts at the airport. And that's part of what's brought her to the brink of needing a break. She has other things going on as well. But she's actually, her interest is piqued when she sees this teenage girl picking up birds that have slammed into the downtown towers. And she ends up following this girl back to Howell Auto Wreckers. And the girl is one of the people who's basically finding sanctuary there. So she's kind of in a role of investigation when she first finds her way. But she doesn't stay in that role very long.
And all the humans in the book, they all love animals?
Not all. We do have a villain.
Yeah.
He's more on the fear end of things, yeah.
You know, you mentioned birds crashing into towers.
Yeah.
You never think about that, you know, living in a city. And
oh,
I guess
God.
You should, shouldn't you?
A million every year in Toronto.
Really?
Are killed. That's not even all the ones that are stunned. And people rescue them. There's an organization called FLAP that has volunteers that go down during the migration season and rescue the ones. Because oftentimes, even if they survive impact, they then get trapped mm-hmm. in that space and they can't get through. But it's right on the migration route in Toronto, so it's a huge number of birds, all different kinds of species that are... Yeah, that was one of the things that started this novel for me, was hearing about that and just thinking about it. And then I read an essay about it by Wayne Grady in a great book called Toronto the Wild, and that really fired my imagination. I think this character of Lily, the teenage girl who's a runaway who lives in the Don Valley, really grew out of that idea of someone rescuing those birds.
Do you and your husband, in where you live, do you have pets?
We don't right now. No, we have had in the past, and we definitely will in the future. We're in an in-between time,
yeah.
In-between pets.
Yeah. Are you like any of the characters in your book?
I'm little pieces of all of them. People do often ask me, which one are you most like? I mean, part of me is like the teenage runaway. Part of me is like Edel, and I'm even a bit like Darius, the villain, a little bit in some ways.
Do you have to like the characters? Like, I mean, do you like Darius?
Yeah. I don't just like him. I love him. I mean, you love your characters, even the villains. Well, no, that's... I don't love his grandfather. His grandfather is the reason why Darius ends up twisted the way he is. And I think that's because, as a writer, I went into what made Darius who he is, but I didn't go into so much what made the grandfather who he is. So maybe I didn't forge that kind of empathy there.
Yeah. And so you know these characters even before you start writing it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know them to a certain extent, and then a certain amount of who they are grows out of the scenes as I'm writing them.
What have you learned about yourself from writing this book, from seeing and studying animals?
I guess I've learned what an important part of the urban experience it is for me, actually. Just having the animals around me. And it's heightened, I mean, I've always had a lot of awareness of the animals, but it's heightened my awareness so that it's a part of my everyday in Toronto, or wherever I am, for that matter. I'm looking for animals, I'm responding to animals. Yeah. It enriches my life.
How would you read?
Sometimes they're a pest,
right?
But usually I'm glad that they're there.
See, I'm dealing with a bit of a pest situation.
Are you? What have you got?
The last two nights, I've come home at about 11 o'clock at night, 11:30, and there's a skunk who's, I guess, I don't know if you have this in Toronto, but it's been pretty big here in Vancouver.
We do.
The grass, they're eating the grubs from the grass.
Yeah, so they're pulling your grass
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I don't know what to do. I mean, I've thought of maybe buying a trap, but then you feel kind of bad doing that, but you don't want to get sprayed.
Yeah, there are all kinds of laws around that too, so you could get yourself in trouble. You pretty much have to go with the pros if you want to trap and release, because you can only release, you know, in certain places, and it can't be very far from where you've taken them from, and so on. But on the other hand, you should keep in mind that if they don't eat the grubs might eat your grass.
That's true.
It is a bit of a balance. But I don't want to get sprayed either.
Yeah.
You've got to bring in the pros when it's a skunk. Don't mess with a skunk.
Are there skunks in the book?
Yeah. There's a scene from the point of view of a skunk. So one of the themes that runs through the book are these sort of, you might call them like mammal vision scenes. So you can go inside the mind of a raccoon and a skunk and a coyote and a bat and so on, and get sort of that view of the city. So you might feel more empathy for your skunk after you've read it.
After I read the book, yeah, definitely. Unlike previous books that you've written, this one's set in the present day, is that correct?
Yes, this one is. I guess my short stories, most of them were set in the present day, but it has been a while.
Yeah. The previous one's Effigy and
yeah, that was 19th century. That was a lot of work.
Yeah. Is there research, I mean, other than the animal stuff, is there research that you have to do for a book
yeah.
like this?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of just research around the federal wildlife officer, exactly what kind of work she would be doing, as opposed to, say, a provincial conservation officer. How does that break down? Just what else? I mean, as I mentioned, going to the auto wrecking yard, learning what everything's called, what everything does, all of that kind of stuff. You want to get that right. One of the characters in the book is also... a soldier who's on a medical release, and he's done a tour of duty in Afghanistan, so that was a whole other area of research. What else? And then a lot of it, yeah, around the animals.
There was another book that crossed my desk in the last week or so where there was a character who'd come back from Afghanistan.
Mm.
And what does the book say, if anything, about that conflict?
Well, I mean... For me, I was most interested in the kind of soldier who gets into it through an altruism. I mean, I think there are all different kinds of reasons why people go into that kind of life, right? I mean, some people kind of want the righteous violence, and some people really want to make a difference. And I think there's a lot of that going on over there. But I mean, I don't have a solution in mind. But I also know that war doesn't work. You know, I mean, I know that it's not really working over there. What we're doing. So the character who I created, I was more interested in the kind of sensitive soldier who's there to try and help people, and how, you know, he's just not tough enough to do that. He basically becomes heartsick.
And you're going across the country now promoting this book. Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy book tour?
I do. It's good to get out of your room. It's good to have a bit of a reason to take a break between books. And it's good. It's always really fun to meet readers, you know, and the people who are interested in what you're doing and they're excited about it. It kind of gives you an energy, you know.
Yeah, and getting feedback from readers, that must be easier now because of the internet. Do you hear from a lot of them?
Yeah, and I always feel like the more people that you hear from, it's just like the more reviews you get, the more you realize that it really is a different book for every person who reads it, because people focus on different things and they bring their own things to the book, and that, I think that gives me a kind of a freedom as a writer, actually, just to write the book as well as I can and know that it's going to be different for everybody who picks it up. And that's exciting.
Does it frustrate you, though, if someone doesn't get the book, say?
Well, of course.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be understood. And, I mean, you put so much work into something like this, and you're focusing on it for, you know, years, and it's taking up your every spare thought. So, yeah, I mean, I'm invested. And it's hugely meaningful for me when people get what I'm doing, and it's disappointing when they don't, sure.
And what do you want from the book? I mean, is it enough that people buy it? Do you want them to read it? Do you want them to like it, say?
In an ideal world, everyone will love it, yes. It's something that you're gripped by and obsessed by and that you feel is really important. Otherwise, you would never get to the end of writing a novel, right? So, when it's meaningful for other people, that's just hugely fulfilling, yeah. Of course, yeah, it's great if they buy it, and it's even better if they love it, sure.
I'm
not going to lie to you.
Yeah, I don't read much fiction. I'm fascinated by, we have a lot of novelists on and the sort. I'm fascinated at how they work and how they react to the reactions to their work. We seem to be obsessed, and I guess it's just the time of year, with book prizes in this country, especially in fiction. Is that something you're thinking about too?
It's something I do my best not to think about.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, because everything that I can't control as a writer is something that I do my best not to think about. So I can control how well I do at a reading to a certain extent. So I put work and time and thought into that. And the actual writing of the book and the revision and all that stuff, I try and put my energy there, and anything that's out of my control, I try not to think about.
But you must know that people are talking about it, talking about this book as well, right?
I hear that it has good buzz, but you know what I know about juries is that every year, people think of, you know, a prize as being sort of a static thing or a thing with a life of its own, but every year it's a jury of three individuals who are working together to try and find something that they agree on. And then there's a different crop of books, and they're comparing apples and oranges. And, you know, it's, God knows, right? There are so many factors. So I really, honestly, in my day-to-day, I try my best not to think about it.
Yeah. But you've been there. The previous book was shortlisted for the Giller.
Yeah, that was fun. It was a fun night.
It was fun, yeah.
It really was, you know. I mean, just to get shortlisted for that one, there's so much publicity around it, and they really do it upright, and you know, it's fun. It's a fun night.
And it makes it easier, say, to get books published, like this one, say?
Absolutely. Yeah, of course.
All of us that got a copy of the book also got this letter from Ann Collins.
Oh no, that was lovely.
Yeah, I've never gotten a book with a note from the publisher. It was a rave, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's I've said it before and I'll say it again. I thank my lucky stars every day that she's my editor, and she's just been such a support for me from the beginning. This is my third book with her, and I've learned so much from her, and yeah, she just supports my work beautifully, and I was very touched to see that letter that she'd written.
Yeah. How do you write? Do you write longhand? Do you write on a computer?
I write first draft longhand, and I do that after doing a lot of research and putting things on. I make files, and then I glean the files for scene notes, and then I glean the scene notes, and I actually use recipe cards, and, you know, I organize all that, and then I cross-reference those to my files, and then I sit down and write the scenes longhand. Then I put them all on the computer, then I print them up in tiny print, and cut them up in pieces and move them around on the floor for weeks on end. Then I tape all those together, and I put all that, you know, I move everything around in the computer, and I print it up again, and I do the same thing over and over and over.
Yeah, and so this is, what, 2-3 years, is it?
Yeah, it usually seems to turn around, I mean, from beginning to actual finished book, it seems to be around 3 years so far.
Yeah.
And the next one I'm thinking about feels that way, too. I don't see anything, you know, popping out in a year's time. That would be absurd.
Yeah, and you don't write, say, now while you're traveling, right?
No, I mean, no, I really do have times where I don't do any first draft writing. Like, now it's early research, so it's just a very pleasurable kind of reading and following my nose and taking notes and finding out about other books that I want to read or other websites I want to check out. It's a very pleasant part of the process.
And there are
there's no, like, fear or forcing myself to work or anything like that at this point.
Right. And there are no characters, right, yet?
There are characters, but they're a little on the amorphous side at this point.
It's been such a pleasure to talk to you, and I will read the book. It's just it's got so many fascinating hooks for me that I'm looking forward to.
If for no other reason than just to understand your skunk better.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
The book is called Fauna. It's published by Random House. The author, Elisa York, on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.